right, let's continue the elements of prayer by reading from the book of Philippians chapter 4. Last time we were here on this subject, I spent all the time talking about the fact that we should understand what the Lord Jesus meant when he said, give us this day. We're talking about the matter of this day, our daily bread. I want to just say something about that again. Although in our previous prayer meetings, I've discussed it here and there as we prayed, but let's just put this as part of our discussion in this season. Philippians chapter 4. If you're not going to worry about something, there's something you will do about it. Like I said, God doesn't expect us to focus our lives, our minds, our prayers on the things that have to do with tomorrow. I have discovered it with every passing day, my experience walking in as a Christian, the word of faith, that God really doesn't want us to worry. Are you getting my point? He really does not desire that we have any worry or any anxiety. And that no matter how wise we think we are, we actually cannot plan our lives. That's a matter of fact. You can't plan your life. You just can't plan your life. You know? I don't know how appropriate this would be as an example. I still remember the very first day I met my wife. I didn't know I was going to meet her that day. I met her that day, married her the following year. Do you understand my point? Yes. Well, I don't know why I get as an example. Right? One of my friends, I've told this story before. The brother I met went for a birthday after church, you know, this kind of, let's go to church, birthday party. Met a naming or something. Met a woman there that day, and in 3 months they were married. That's not a joke. I mean, they had never seen each other before that day. 3 months after, they were married. And they had a not American wedding, just two people just hide, rush to the registry when nobody's looking. That's not what I mean, you know. Americans just wake up in the morning. Normal African wedding. In 3 months, he had proposed to the woman. She had agreed. They had visited her parents, visited his parents, done all the normal things, printed cards, arranged wedding. In 3 months, they were married. Not the story of something that happened to somebody that I read in a book. I know the person. You really can't plan your own life. And in Christianity, what God is asking us to do actually is just to trust him totally. Are you getting my point? I believe this very strongly. Where I'm going to be next year, I suspect I might know it. It might be here in Enugu, but that's what I think. Where I really am going to be, only God knows it. He's the only person. We have general ideas. We have desires. Desires are very legitimate. They are good, but they don't control the ultimate thing that happens to our lives. No, they don't. At the age of 74, Abraham thought he was made. He had settled. He had a plan and all of that. At the age of 75, God called him. Do you understand? Life took a different turn. It went in a different direction. And that's a fact of life. That's what faith will take us into. But the thing I like to say all the time, which is what God wants us to know, is that you cannot imagine anything close to what God has planned for your life. When you talk about beauty, when you talk about the glory attached to it, you can't. All your plans are inferior, do you get my point, to the plan of God. You know, because of where I work in the university, something happened a few days ago. I won't give you the details, but they just changed a rule. Just, you know, like, this is the way we're going to do this thing. And everybody was plotting and planning and rushing and working on that. Then they just changed one rule, you know. And that's it. All the plans men had before that just tumbled, went upside down. So you see, you really can't plan. When I heard that thing, I just smiled. And it was, anyway, for me, there was something beautiful about it, all right? It was a very personal instruction. Just a few weeks and days before that, I'd made some, some commitments, some, dedications. I'd made my mind up on some issues, all right? So when that thing just fell in, I just said, praise God. The Lord had essentially said, don't just waste your time, all right? These things won't work out the way men are plotting it. Do you get my point? You can't plot your life. You can't. If you allow God to plot it for you, and how do you allow God to plot it for you? It's very, very simple. It's not difficult at all. Number one thing which I emphasize all the time is that you must give attention to hearing the word of God all the time. You must. Number two thing is that each point in time, that's the way it is, God will have taught you over time as you are getting to know his word, as you are getting to interact with his spirit, of course, in the presence of the word, there are things you come to understand. And each point in life, you have to make a decision. I have to go to the left or go to the right. You use the principle that he has taught you to make that decision at that time. That's what it means when it says God is, you're walking the path of righteousness. Let me put it like that. That's just what we mean. That's the way by which you cooperate. I've said it before. He said, he that that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If you look at the way that scripture is saying, all right, what it was saying is simply is that what you can do is to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. But abiding under the shadow of the Almighty is not a deliberate thing. It's what God confers upon you when you have done what he calls dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. What I mean is that God allows you some things to do, then he does the rest. He's the one that will lead you in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake. But what does he do? You must first allow, he would instruct you, and you must allow him to be your shepherd. Are you getting my point? That is, at each point in time in life, you will have to make a choice. Just make that choice based upon the understanding that you have. Make sure you are not afraid of tomorrow. I'm back to it again. That's what I want to teach about again, this matter of prayer. You must not be afraid of tomorrow. What is going to happen to us? You know, if you watch TV, all right? If you don't have a lot of faith, you shouldn't watch TV. Like when I say TV, I don't mean home movies, no. I mean news. America is about to default on its debt. Today's what? 2nd of August, right? It's today. As of today, if they defaulted, what will have happened? And when I see all that, and they will not sit down and be analyzing. What will happen is that the rating, Standard & Poor's rating of American debt structure will go down. Therefore, the cost of lending to America will go up. Since they are this and that, at the end of the day, I say all of it is a lie. What I mean is that. Hey, my man, don't try to scare me, my friend. America, let them not pay their debts again. The young lions can suffer hunger and lack. Those that seek the Lord will not lack anything good. Every time you watch this, they are trying to scare you. You know, Bible talks about faith, all right? It's been the shield with which we quench the fiery darts of the devil, the shield of faith. What does that mean? That is, the devil is shooting fire-tipped arrows. Do you get the point? What do you mean by fire-tipped arrows? That this is shooting things into your heart to set your life on fire. Do you understand my point? That's how they used to wage warfare those days. You put fire at the tip of an arrow and shoot it. You set a city on fire without going near it. Do you follow? So he's trying to do that to your heart. So you use the shield of faith to block all those things. People start making investment decisions, business plans, life plans, because America wants to default on their debt. That's their problem. They become afraid. Go and buy gold, go and buy gold, go and buy gold. And buy gold. I'm going to spend my money. Praise God. You know, because they say that, you see, gold is the only, as the world is, as of today, gold is the most, which word can I use now? Stable, predictable form of money that exists. Value. You want to hold value. Gold it is. Are you getting my point? Gold, the price of gold as of today is the highest it has ever been in life, measuring in US dollars. Why? Because when Americans do what they call quantitative easing, forget the big English, it means printing money that has no value. That's what they call quantitative easing. Just go to the press and roll out cash. Once they are doing it, the currency in circulation, the value is dropping. So real investors, those who can look closely, they say they take their money out of currencies and lock it in gold. That way they are safe. And of course, because of the demand, the price is going up. And again, because the currency with which you are pricing it, the value is going down, the price relatively is also going up. Two things are shooting up the value of gold. At the end of the day, you know what came to my mind? The Bible said, gold that perishes. That's what the Bible called it. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going for the talk. The Bible calls it what? Gold that perishes. As I was watching all this analysis a few days ago, I remember one thing the Lord Jesus said. He said, do not lay up treasure on the earth. Do you understand? He said, where moths destroy and thieves do break in and steal. If moths can't destroy the gold, thieves will break in and steal it. And let me explain something to you. Thieves, there are different kinds of thieves. There are thieves that walk behind you, snatch and run. There are thieves that tap you, look at me, I'm the thief. But if you talk, I shoot you. that's the kind of thief. If you ever listen to Fela does this, Fela now talked about authority stealing. Yes. That's another kind of thief. Authority stealing are those who sit in office and just use collect state funds. But the biggest form of stealing is done, everybody says worldwide, by the governments of the countries. I'm telling you. Not illegal, it's legal. But they take money from people's pockets without people realize their money is going. There are different ways they can collect your money. Why am I saying all of these things? It is not possible to humanly secure your future. It's not possible. A few years ago, in this country, it was, and not long ago, maybe like 2 years now, if you wanted to get a very tush job, you don't like the job you're doing, you want to get a very, very good one, it's simple. Sell your father's land. Sell his house. Even if he's angry, don't worry. You will soon buy it back. Just use the money to get a foreign degree. Maybe you have a BSc in something or BA in something from any university in Nigeria. Just get an MA, MSc, MBA from UK or US. You are guaranteed a very tush job. Of course, you're not the only one that knew that. So every Nigerian found out. They started carrying every money they could find, rush abroad. And those Oyinbo people, when economy not good, they love Asians and Africans because we love their degrees. One day, I went, when my wife went to do a postgraduate program, and I said, let me try University of Liverpool. Now, listen to this. I just put her phone number. The following day, her phone rang. She was inside the waiting market. Do you remember? Hello, am I talking to? I don't know how he said that. Was it that she told me at home? I can't hear what you're saying. See, you want to do a course in English? You can't speak English? He said, what's wrong with your father? I mean, I can't speak English. I mean, this place is noisy. Can you be asking me if I can't speak English? This is what I make. They will come, look, they will employ you. They take you first before they take their local guys. Because you go pay. So they said, you don't have to go there, sit in Nigeria like this, just pay the money. Just be doing a few courses online. They send you some books. You read it. You do your test online. Click this one. If it is correct, click that one. This is fraud. Then they give you, listen, and they tell you that the certificate will not reflect that you did it online. The person who was there and you get the same certificate. How much was everything? £15,000. Nigerians can afford that. So everybody started collecting it. At the end of the day, it doesn't have value again. Because it's not rare anymore. Maybe now we'll start looking for Asian certificates, I don't know. But the UK one is common now. You go to Lagos, say, hey, anybody with UK degree here? They go show up, say, what? And then they say, all these plots we make to secure future, none of them, that is, none works. And don't get there to find out. Trust the word of God. Trust his prophet, you know. Believe it. It doesn't work. I'm not saying degrees is wrong. I told you, my wife was doing a postgraduate now, but I was investigating that because she wanted to do it. She's not looking for a job just to keep learning. Now I've been saying it. Do things for more noble purposes. You have to keep learning. It's good to keep your brain sharp. It's very good. The other day, when I was on this Radio Nigeria FM program again on last Friday. And the person asked me, okay, what do you think people should do? That's where he framed the question. One of the things I told him, I said, listen, sir, there's famine in Somalia, and where else now? Is it Chad? Those countries here, East, Northern Africa there. All right? I mentioned it. I said, do you know as of today, the world is still throwing away 30% of all the food they produce. Not as it rotted away. They just say, I don't like this one. Print it to dustbin. I said, what does that tell you? The ability to manage resources is a major problem we have on the earth. So I said simply, one of the things people can do is to learn how to manage resources. Do you get my point? So it's good to acquire the knowledge. It's good to acquire the understanding. It's good to acquire the information. But if you think that is security for tomorrow, failure. Failure. And let me tell you something. This life moves in cycles. At least, God placed me at a time, you know, my left leg is in one generation. The other one is the next generation. That's why I'm in the transition. At least I was very young, but I saw it happen. When people would rush abroad, finish reading, and come back home. No, so. Because it was happening. Then as I was growing, I saw people abandon everything and going. While I'm watching, they don't reverse again. Can you see? One generation rushed to go to school, rushed back home to get the jobs. Then after a while, one generation abandoned the jobs and went somewhere else to go and work. Now they are returning back. Listen, that's another point. There's no security in Nigeria too. There's no security in America. There's no security in Europe. There's no security in Nigeria too. I'm not saying Nigeria is secure. You don't say that. No. What I am saying that only in God, the Bible says, are righteousness and strength. That scripture is very important. Let's just read it and I get into my message for today. Isaiah chapter 46. Well, okay, actually Isaiah chapter 45 is into 46. Let's start from verse 22. It said, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back." What is the word? "That to me every knee will bow. Every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Men will come to him. And all who are angry at him shall be put to shame. In the Lord, all the offspring," that's standing for the church of Christ, "all the offspring of Israel will be justified and will glory." The next line says, "Baal has bowed down, Nebo stoops over." And that refers to the things that people put their trust in, every material things. That's what he calls idols. "Their images are consigned to the beasts and the cattle. The things that you carry," he says, "are burdensome, a load for the weary beast." He said, "They stooped over, they have bowed down together. They could not rescue the burden, but have themselves gone into captivity." Listen, many of the things people are putting their trust in, you will watch it, that very thing will go into captivity. I mean, countries that men wanted to put their trust in, the countries are going into captivity. You are getting what I'm saying? Look, many places, you know, there was a day, one of my friends said something. He said that, now listen to this, "You left Nigeria and you went to UK. And UK is a good country." Amen? Say amen if you believe it. It's a good country. Eh? It's not a bad place. Then after some time, the man said, "I'm already thinking, maybe I should do these exams and go to the US. Ah. Now I have a problem with that. What is driving you up and down? That's the question I always like to ask. Do you follow my point? The simple problem is that when Christians are not careful as to put their trust in God, God puts the very things that they put their trust in, puts that thing into captivity. Do you get my point? Yes, the thing goes into captivity. I told you once, I was talking with my mother. My mother called me then when my younger brother Deji, this was shortly after his youth service, he was trying to get employment, that I should pray. I said, no problem. That he applied for a job in NNPC. So it was funny to me, Deji, NNPC. NNPC is a good place. Amen? The only problem is that you know person where you know. I didn't see the relationship between his thinking and petroleum. It was a bit difficult for me. So I said, all right, no problem. So yes, and much later, I now asked my mom, so how far would I go? He said, you know Nigeria now. You know Nigeria. They've already decided those they wanted to take. I said, so I now said something. I said, well, actually, I prayed those. Not if I didn't pray. Just that I was wondering, what was the issue with NNPC? She now said, you know now, government things are better. He said, you know government things, they're usually better. That is, they are more secure, you have better job security. Hey! He said NNPC is a government company. I just said so was NITEL. What did I say? And of course, many of you know, NITEL was a government. Look, listen, then you worked in NITEL, you were a king. But your pastor will give you a special seat in front. I didn't say you're an engineer, you're just a bloody technician there, one low level technician. But you're a powerful man. Except that one day, one man called Olusegun Obasanjo became president, appointed one man called Ernestine Dukwe as NCC chairman. And there's another guy. Anyway, between all of them, they arranged and issued licenses to GSM companies. And since then, the life of NITEL has not been the same. One day, NITEL was advertising a trade fair, which come and collect line for 5,000 naira. And my wife and I laughed, say, we don't want oil. Why don't we want? Because when I was living in Transekulu, shortly after I came to Enugu, one day somebody came and said, oh, God, I have a NITEL line for you. I said, praise God. How much? Listen to this. 60,000 naira. And I said, no problem. I shall buy it. Where is it? And he said, oh, God, you will pay now. You collect it in 3 months. I said, sorry, I'm not interested. He said, it's a good deal. I said, I'm not interested. But that's how precious NITEL lines were those days. I said, I'm going to. At the point in time, they were offering for 5,000 naira. And then the workers would now go to court to restrain the government from sacking them. And of course, they kept on sacking. They were sacking everybody. They are still sacking till today. Now, who will buy NITEL? They've tried to sell it how many times? I've lost count. If you can count, you are very good with mathematics. I have lost count. Always trying to sell NITEL. But it was a government company. A time will come, the same story will be told of NNPC. Not because NNPC is bad, but because only in the Lord are righteousness and what? And strength. So that day I said, I could, but there was no point. There was no point talking to my mother because the generations are too different. They are too different. She grew up with the generation that you worked for government, you were secure all your life. But you and I know, government doesn't even pay pension anymore. As you are working, you'll be taking from your salary and be investing it in what they call pension management companies, whatever they call it. At the end of the day, they'll be paying you as they are making money from the stock market. So when you hear stock market crashes, it's people's pensions that's going. Why? Because God says, only in the Lord are what? Righteousness and strength. You can't, look, there's no security anywhere else. There's none. Now, that's not my message for today, though. I spent a lot of time talking about it. I said we should open somewhere. Philippians chapter 4. Actually, everything I've said is a very good background for what we want to read that Philippians chapter 4. From verse 4, where I'm going is verse 6, as part of our elements in prayer. But I needed to say everything I said so far, so as to get the foundation right. Like I said, the words of Jesus in that Matthew chapter 6 has many things. They have many things implicit in them. Those words have many things implicit in them. That is, there are things that are inside without being said outwardly, explicitly. Alright? And this is one of those things. We'll get back to that Matthew chapter 6, where we read last time about the prayer for the day. It said from verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. As a commandment, so you must make up your mind to be joyful. It said, let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious. Verse 6, that's what I really want. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me just read that from the Amplified translation, just to bring out the force in those words, a bit more. Philippians chapter 4. I just read that verse 6. He said, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, that is definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. He now said, well, let me just leave that next verse. I just want to emphasize that verse 6. Now, when the Lord Jesus said something to us, and I said this, I think, like I said, we discussed when we were talking about prayer some time ago. When the Lord said, don't worry about tomorrow. Limit your prayers to today. You see that from the book of Matthew chapter 6, which we have been reading again and again, both in the early parts and then in the latter parts, when he said, take no thought for the morrow, what we shall eat, what we shall drink, or wherewithal shall you be clothed. All right? He said, for all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek. He said, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom, verse 33, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow. That's exactly what Paul was talking about. Do not be anxious for tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That is, the trouble for each day was what he now taught us to pray about in that earlier part of that chapter, when he said, give us this day our daily bread, our daily supply for the troubles of each day. We've discussed that last time. I'm not going over that again. Now, if you are going to limit your focus to the things of today, the things that are immediate. Now, let me quickly say this. When we say people shouldn't worry about things that of tomorrow, all right? And we're not saying that you shouldn't send your child to school because you are not worried about tomorrow. You know, sometimes Christians, that's the problem we have with interpreting divine principles, all right? You know, when he said that this world is not our home and Jesus is coming soon. So people stopped going to work. Now, look, there was a season, all right, in which if you gave your life to Christ, the implication was intense. You understand my point? When I say intense now, suddenly you go to your wardrobe and kill a lot of clothes you wear. And I actually think these days, people should still kill a lot of clothes they wear. All right? If a lot of young ladies, they give their life to Christ, I will beg them, go and kill some of this attire of harlots. Yes, all right? But what I mean is that sometimes we carry those things beyond what was reasonable. A lot of people didn't go to work anymore. They didn't go to school anymore. Why? Because they were the things of this world. And Jesus is coming soon. So if you are studying today now to become, let's say, an engineer, by the time you are graduating, Jesus will have come and your engineering will have no use. Please, that is carrying the truth beyond what is reasonable. Are you getting my point? If you are a young man, if you are a young woman, there is a season of learning. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what I want to emphasize. It's not just, you see, we make the mistake of thinking that the reason why you go to school is because of anxiety about tomorrow. In life, you must be useful. Do you follow my point? Like I was referring to what I said on radio, that people must learn so that they will be able to impact their societies. It's important. In life, you must be useful. You can't, look, God will not use your empty head to impact anybody's life. God is not the God of the ignorant. Amen? Now, we have to clarify that. God is not a God of stupid people. We often talk as if God is a God of idiots, all right? That he likes the congregation of ignorant people. Listen, he does, even if he accepts them, he doesn't leave them ignorant. Do you follow my point? Listen to me. He accepted Peter, James, John, fishermen, when they were wise people, that is, educated people. But by the time he was through with them, when Peter spoke, people opened their mouths. Do you follow what I'm saying? When Peter spoke, people said, what? When did this man learn so much? What does that tell you? From having been with Jesus for a while, he had become learned. He had understood things that the other people who went to the common schools did not understand. Do you follow my point? With God, stupid people are welcome. Smart people are welcome. God does not discriminate and say, listen, I only want idiots. No. If you're a professor, you can be a Christian. Amen? Amen. And if you're a moron, God will remove the moronity of your... Is that tell me what like that? Yes. God will convert it to godly wisdom. It's very important. I just need to emphasize that. So we don't learn because we are afraid of tomorrow. We learn because part of the thing you know about God is knowledge. You hear the word wisdom, knowledge, understanding. These are the traits of God. Do you follow my point? Yes, like with God, it's very crucial that you don't try to dictate things in life according to human knowledge. But understanding is crucial. I was still reading this book today, Mover of Men and Mountains, Baraji Lotono. You see the man, look, talking about how it is crucial that all the wisdom that men, you know, he was talking about people who research into space and all of that. He said it's okay, But by the time you finish, it's my job as an engineer to convert all the understanding you have derived from this, your research into space, to practical benefits for mankind.